This week's Second World War experience comes from John Dummer. We lived on the outskirts of Croydon in Surrey, not far from the RAF base at Biggin Hill, Kent. Consequently, we observed a lot of aerial activity as the Luftwaffe targeted both the RAF base and Croydon Airport. Although not directly affected by the Blitz of London, we often suffered from damaged aircraft dumping their bombs in an attempt to lighten their load while attempting to return to their base in France. We were quite used to hearing the air raid siren blaring out a warning. In 1944, the Luftwaffe changed their tactics and no longer sent squadrons of bombers, but used unmanned jet-propelled rockets, commonly named doodlebugs. Early one morning, we were awakened by the siren, and I hastily put on some warm clothes and joined my mother and brother in the hall of our home. We headed out the back door on our way to our sturdy brick-built shelter at the bottom of the garden. It was a bright moonlit night, and as we stepped outside of the house, we heard the sound of a doodlebug. A shadow was cast over the garden, and we looked up to see a rocket-shaped bomb, and at the same time, the engine cut out. We knew this meant that the rocket would immediately dive. My mother pulled us back to the wall of the house, and we saw the rocket skim over the treetops at the bottom of the garden. Shortly after, there was a tremendous explosion, and the sky was lit up with huge flames. The rocket had landed on the caddy's shed belonging to the golf club behind our property. Fortunately, the only casualty was all the grass-cutting machines. As a result of this incident, my father, who worked in Whitehall, suggested that we go and stay with an aunt in Huddersfield in Yorkshire. On our arrival in Huddersfield, my brother was registered with the local school, but I was too young and would have been required to travel to the other side of town, which my mother wouldn't allow. She joined my aunt in volunteering to pack parachutes at the local factory. I was looked after by a homely lady who lived in a cottage adjoining a grand house occupied by the owner of a timber yard. After a time, this gentleman asked my mother if she would allow him to take me to the yard during the day. She agreed, and I would accompany him to the yard, which had a canal running beside it. Barges arrived carrying timber from Canada, and I'd watch them being unloaded. I'd then help his secretary record the receipt of the load by laboriously typing on an upright Underwood typewriter. At Christmas time, the Canadian Timber Company would include a few crates of delicious red apples, which were distributed to the staff. My experiences of this period were pleasant and couldn't be compared to some of those children evacuated during the Blitz. They say that your future life is influenced by events in your early life. In my case, I love the smell of wood, and my woodworking and keyboard skills are quite good. Our friendship with the timber yard owner continued after the war, when I did 2 years national service with the RAF. An uncle was a member of a Lancaster bomber crew which made regular trips over Germany. On one trip, the Lancaster was badly damaged by ACAC fire and lost one engine. The pilot nursed the aircraft back towards England and was in sight of the coast when another engine failed. The pilot ordered the crew to bail out once he was over land. He and the co-pilot stayed with the aircraft and eventually crash-landed short of their base. They survived the crash but had injuries to their legs. All the crew survived their parachute descent. While waiting to be allocated to another aircraft, my uncle decided to visit his sisters, my aunt and my mother. He was aware that they worked at the parachute packing factory and asked them to arrange a visit for him. This they did, and he arrived at the factory in his uniform and thanked the ladies for their work, which had resulted in him and the other crew members being saved. My brother and I were playing soldiers with some friends, wearing our tin helmets and toy rifles. My brother attempted to jump over a low dry stone wall, but lost his balance. His helmet went flying, and unfortunately he landed on it. The helmet had a serrated rim, which badly cut his knee. He was taken to hospital, where they stitched the wound and immobilized his leg by plastering it. In order to attend school, he was taken in a pushchair with his leg stuck out in front. He was treated as though he was a hero. He bore the result of this incident for the rest of his life, the scar resembled a toothy grin.